This is Vectis Radio. Now, I'm glad to be able to say we've got Mike Woolpit on the other end of this this telephone. Now, Mike is from the Riverside Centre. I don't know too much about what he does, but I know he's part of the Community Action Group, which have been doing fantastic work over the years, and even more so due to the pandemic. So, first of all, welcome, Mike.
Thanks, Ian.
And do you just want to outline what you would normally do during the day?
Normally, there isn't a normal. That's the nature of the beast. No, we do a huge range of things. As you say, we run the Riverside Centre, which hosts lots and lots of community activity year in, year out. We provide support to other voluntary and community groups, giving them advice on funding and supporting them with training or maybe a bit of charity law support. We run a voluntary car service, a few other projects here and there, and then we've also got three trading arms as well. So it's always very busy.
And over the last 4 or 5 weeks, I would imagine you've got even more busy.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, I guess it's easing a little bit now, but certainly the last 5 or 6 weeks have just been harum scarum, and everybody's pulling out all the stops to help as many different groups and link in with the council and make sure the residents have got what they need at this challenging time.
So what sort of things have you been working on, putting things in place over the last 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we've done for many years, for example, is run a voluntary car service, Optio, which helps older people and less mobile residents get around to appointments and so forth. And although we can't run that service at the moment, we've made sure that we've kept in touch with all 450 or so members. All of them have had a couple of telephone calls in the last few weeks, really just making sure that they're okay, they've got what they need, or they know where to go if they haven't got what they need. And it's just giving that sort of sense of reassurance is something that's very valuable at this time.
If they haven't got what they need, what do they do? How can you help them?
Yeah, I mean, if they haven't got what they need, probably the most direct line is to call the Isle of Wight Council's helpline, which is 823 600. And then you'll sort of be on the council's radar. And then depending on your level of need, you'll either perhaps get referred out to one of the many groups around the island who are supporting residents with things like shopping and prescription picking up or other items that they might need. Or if there are more serious concerns going on, then there's a chance the helpline might then refer you into the council's adult services if it starts becoming a more serious issue.
Have you got enough people that that are carrying out all of these things that you're doing? I know there is a website that you can go along to and you can volunteer, but have you got enough? Are you crying out for more people to help out?
I think at the moment we've probably got enough volunteers overall. In fact, I think that a number of people who have come forward haven't been fully utilised. But there's a few things sort of starting to emerge now and in the coming weeks where I think there'll be a few more demands on people's time. And especially as that's going to be a funny old time in that we're going to have probably a lot of people who came forward needing to or trying to return to work and so forth. And yet there's still also going to be quite a lot of need out there. So getting that balance right is going to be tricky moving forward.
How can we help as people, you know, just the ordinary people on the street? How can we help you?
First and foremost, it's about helping yourself and your family and your friends and your neighbours. I mean, you can start as local as possible. And if you know that you're keeping an eye on a neighbour next door or a few houses down who might be a bit fragile, and that's just a wonderful thing to do. It's about starting as close to home as possible. For others, obviously, if you've got, if you're already doing that and you've still got a bit more time, then certainly there's other volunteering opportunities out there in your local area. I mean, all across the island, there's so much different support going on, whether it's West Wight, Knighton, Shanklin, it literally is everywhere. Most of those groups have got enough volunteers, although obviously it fluctuates a little bit because people's circumstances have changed in the last 5 or 6 weeks. But I think most of them overall have got enough volunteers. But as I said, that's for now. And there's going to be a few other things emerging in the coming weeks, which I think might mean that they are going to put out some cries for more volunteers in specific areas moving forward.
Would it be fair to say that, you know, the first sort of month was a bit like, okay, we're all going to try and get used to it, we're all going to do this, and it's you know, in some cases it's new, so but after a period of a time, you know, month, 5 weeks, it then pans out that there are a number of people that would have been paid at the end of this month normally, but are now not going to be, so they're going to be desperate for help. What advice can you give them?
Well, best advice is to get in touch with Citizens Advice on the Isle of Wight. I mean, another fantastic local charity, and they are definitely, unfortunately, inundated with requests for help. But definitely Citizens Advice locally are a superb organisation, and they will be able to offer you the best advice there is.
Okay, and I think we've got a number. I think the number is 823600. Is that the same number as the number you just read out just now?
Well, the 823600 goes to the council helpline, but of course the council are working hand in glove with Citizens Advice, so they'll be able to transfer you on from there.
I mean, you're probably privy to numbers. Has it surprised you the amount of people that do need help?
No, I don't think so. In that, if you think about the demographics on the island, obviously we innately do have quite a large number of older residents and some slightly more vulnerable residents with sort of multiple long-term conditions and so forth, and that's a well-known feature. So I'm not surprised by the number of people who need help. In some ways, actually, I think that so many people, because of the support that they've got from their family and the communities, they're actually sort of not needing as much help, perhaps, as some people might have thought. So sometimes where there's nationally, there's this thing called the shield list of vulnerable residents, and they're sending out food parcels, and some residents are returning them saying, actually, I'm okay, I don't need this, I'd rather it was transferred onto the food bank because someone needs it more than I do.
Do you know, I go into, because obviously we're based at the Riverside Centre and we see and we know what the Riverside Centre are all about, and we know what you do, you know, during normal time, and seeing what you're doing now and measuring what you did before, it's phenomenal work that you're doing, and I hope that yourself and your team get huge pats on the back when all this is done. Because you know, when I wondered what the community action group did until recently. Now we've got an idea, but even now I've got an even better idea. So, I think credit to you and your team, and I know that there's a lot of people that are hard working around the clock. What sort of hours are you doing now, as opposed to what you were doing like 5-6 weeks ago?
Wow. We always work hard, Ian. So, I don't know. I mean, certainly during the first few weeks, I think all the staff who are working on these sorts of things were working 10, 11-hour days, that's for sure. But as I said, I mean, we're always busy. We do a huge range of things. I mean, at the moment, we're still doing ongoing support around, obviously, volunteering, helping people to recruit and manage their volunteers safely. And we've helped to get a few of the local groups get protective equipment for their volunteers and things like that. As I said, the website, you must look at the website, which is www.iowcoronavirus.co.uk. That's got lots of useful information on, including all the details of all the local groups who might be supporting residents in your area, plus lots of other information. I mean, we also have got our trading venture. So we run Godshill Shop and Post Office. And hats off to all the local village shops out there who have stayed open and are supporting their local residents with the services that they need. We run Scarrett's Lane Bakery, so we're supplying some of the village shops with bakery products, and we're also doing a delivery service in the Newport area as well. So, yeah, always very varied.
I think it's fantastic. I really do. And the website is, we should point out that it is an Isle of Wight website. So it's, iowcoronavirus.co.uk. And I have looked at that myself and thinking all the information is there. It really is. So if you need any advice, go to that website. Hey, look, I know people are talking about, when we come out of all of this, what's the next steps and so on and so forth. I don't think this is going to be as easy as what people think. The next steps are going to be quite tricky.
Yeah, I think they really will be tricky, both for charities and for businesses and for people. I mean, on the charity side, I am worried for the voluntary sector. Obviously, there have been quite a lot of different grant funds made available for the crisis response. And also some charities have been able to furlough their staff to sort of therefore manage some of the costs of operating. But lots of charities and community groups have lost loads of opportunities for fundraising, like the London Marathon, which has obviously been cancelled at the national level, right down to sort of car boot sales locally. These fundraising efforts sustain groups for the whole year. Without this funding, there are difficult decisions to be made moving onwards. And it's not just money, it's also about volunteers, because obviously many, many voluntary groups are dependent on older volunteers who may still be self-isolating for a few more months yet. So how will those groups be able to meet the increased needs that are going to be out there when they've also got less volunteers? So there's lots of other complications. I mean, if you think of Shanklin Theatre, what's going to happen there? Community libraries, our own voluntary car service that we run. There's many different scenarios. It's a pretty endless list in terms of the challenges for the voluntary sector in the next 6 to 9 months, I think. But I mean, as ever, as we know, I mean, the voluntary groups will make the best of any circumstances. And we are fortunate on the island to have such a strong sector.
I think you're right. And I think once the dust has settled, they'll, you know, people like yourselves will put a plan in place. And you know that the Isle of Wight will support it. I'm guessing some of these events that you were talking about that have been cancelled, that wouldn't raise money normally. In some cases, they probably can't be, you know, rejigged and later in the year. But I would imagine there are some that we could do and just plan them for later in the year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's lots of talk about different marathons still happening, but that still gives organisations, if they've got staff who are paid, that still gives them a gap, if you know what I mean, until those efforts can be put in place. And it's about, certainly I've been talking to the council and also to charitable trust funders around the need to be thinking strongly about what grants they might be able to make available in terms of filling the gap, if you like. Certainly the council and local trust funders like White Aid and Hampshire and Isle of Wight Community Foundation have already come forward and are putting monies out there, and I'm sure they will continue to do so, but it is going to be very necessary.
For those people that are concerned, you know, they're working in that sector, should they get in touch now, or should they wait for the dust to settle first?
No, I mean, I think it doesn't. I've just been corresponding with one of the senior officers of a local charity at Haylands Farm, in fact, who do great work. And I've just been corresponding with her about where she stands and how she's feeling. And so that gives me information that I can then feed into the council and to other trust funders to sort of help paint the picture in terms of the needs that are out there. So please, if you're a small volunteer community group, or not necessarily a small one, a bigger one too, please let me know about your concerns, because I can help feed that in, and hopefully it will result in the concerns that worry you being eligible for grant funding moving forward.
Do they get hold of you directly? Is there a website? Is there a phone number? I don't want to, because I know you're busy enough as it is. I mean, you know, how do people get hold of you?
Yeah, best is probably the email address at the moment. You can add to the 120 or 30 that I get every day, but that is, seriously, that's fine. My email address is mbulpit, so mbulpitt at actioniw.org.uk.
Do you know what, Mike? You're a legend.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, honestly, truthfully, because I just think that there's so many people that are really stepping up and doing their bit. And I know that, you know, some people might say, yourself included, well, it's my job, that's what I do. But, you know, I just think what you're doing is superb. And I say hats off to you and your team, because I know there's a massive team working behind the scenes as well. And I just think in these times, you know, we need to, you know, accept that people are doing wonderful stuff and give them a pat on the back and say, hey, look, don't want to patronise you, but, you know, without people like yourself, it wouldn't have been, I'm not saying it's a breeze by any stretch, but we wouldn't have got through this, simple as that. So where to go?
Well, thank you. But I mean, I'll just have to deflect all of that praise. It's obviously down to my staff and down to all the huge numbers of voluntary groups and volunteers out there. That's what's made this horrible time not quite such a horrible time on the Isle of Wight, because we have managed to support each other.
Hey, Mike, I'm hoping that you come into the radio station more often when you get back, because I think we can support each other, and I think there's a job to be done, and we should be doing it together.
Okay, sounds good.
Promise me?
I will. You know, I'm shy, really, you see.
Thanks, Mike. I'll let you get back to it, because I know you're busy. And thank you for taking the time out to talk to us. Is there one thing that you can, one further piece of advice, you know, a telephone number, a website, again, that we can tell people about before you go?
No, the advice is really, don't get ahead of yourself in terms of when we sort of come to have a bit of release. Don't start suddenly going into big crowds and shaking everybody's hand and kissing everybody, etc. You've got to keep that isolation bit going for a bit longer yet.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
There we are, Mike Ballpit from the Community Action Group. Very, very busy. We'll let him get back to all the hard work that he's putting in. We're going to take a song into a quick break. We got Joe Jackson. You can't get what you want till you know what you want. Then we're going to come out the other side with a classic Queen track. All here on Vectis Radio FM 104.6.